RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice, big, deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:05 here, or 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to the Daytona 500 preview edition of Fast Track here on WGR. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thank you for listening. Our second show of the 2017 season, and it's a big one, of course, as we kick off the 2017 season for the NASCAR Cup Series, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, as it is now known, but we'll just call it the Cup Series probably, with today's running, the 59th running of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500 at the Daytona International Speedway, and always kicking off the year with the biggest race of the year, and it's going to be a real big one today, I think. I'm really excited for today's race. I think it's going to be maybe the most wide-open and exciting Daytona race 500 we've had in quite some time. A great show lined up for you this morning. We're on for 2 hours, 11 to 1 here today on WGR. We will lead into live flag-to-flag coverage of the Daytona 500. You'll hear it right here on WGR. We'll hand things off to our friends at the Motor Racing Network at 1 o'clock with their pre-race coverage, with race coverage starting at just after 2. The official green flag time is right around 2:30. Just you want to keep that in mind if you're going to be out and about this afternoon and you want to, you know, be in your couch or in front of your radio just in time to catch the green flag. That'll be about 2:30. So all the, you know, all the singing and praying they do before the race, that'll get going about quarter after 2. So you might want to keep that in mind. So green flag around 2:30. Speaking of the Motor Racing Network, we'll have Kurt Becker, who will be on the broadcast today. He'll join us live from Daytona at the bottom of the hour here in our first hour of the program. Kurt, a veteran motorsports and horse racing announcer, I should add. He'll join us with a preview at the bottom of the hour. Also coming up on today's program, of course, if you're familiar with Speed Weeks, of course, not all the action is just at Daytona. There are a lot of short tracks in and around the area of Daytona with racing action that has been going on for longer than 2 weeks now. Tracks like Volusia and East Bay Raceway and New Smyrna. Well, one of the drivers that picked up a win down there is familiar to race fans here in Western New York, Tyler Ripkema, who got a big win on Tuesday night at the New Smyrna Speedway in the World Series of Short Track Racing, got his first career modified win, and we're going to talk to Tyler at about 11:50 here this morning on the program. Tyler, of course, a regular with the Race of Champions Modified Series, and Tyler coming off his best season to date on the ROC Series, showing a lot of improvement, one of the up-and-coming young guns on that series. So we'll talk to Tyler about his big win at 11:50. In our second hour, at about quarter after noon, we're going to talk to Alex Nagy from the Jukasa Motor Speedway, or as you might remember it, the Cayuga Motor Speedway over in Nell's Corners, Ontario. That racetrack is sat dormant for a few years, but it is ready to come back to life later this year, and it's coming back in a big way because some folks have taken it over, and they are investing some big money into that facility, improving it, repaving it, adding some banking, and they're going to return to action later this summer. So, and they've hired Alex to run the facility for them. Alex is a former racer himself. He's run with the old CASCAR, NASCAR Canadian Tire, now Pinty's series. So we're going to talk to Alex about the rebirth of the Cayuga Motor Speedway under its new name, Jukasa Motor Speedway, at quarter past 12 noon here on the program for our two-hour edition of WGR's Fast Track. But we also have plenty of time for you, race fans. 803-0551. 888-550-2550. Real simple today. Your picks to win the Daytona 500. Who are you pulling for in today's race? Who do you think is going to win? And also, if you have any, you know, season picks, you think who's going to win the championship or who's going to be your final four going into Homestead for the championship, if you want to throw those in there as well, too. Love to hear that as well. One other thing, though, I'm looking for this morning this afternoon. We're just a few weeks removed from the Super Bowl, of course, and you know, you go to a Super Bowl party or with the Super Bowl, of course, there is some gambling, not legal, but you know, wagering units on the game, and more importantly, there's always fun games to play, whether you do squares or prop bets or anything like that. But I'd like to know if you do anything similar for the Daytona 500. There are numerous ways to have fun with your friends and add a little action along with watching the race. So if you have a game that you like to play at your Daytona 500 party, I would love to hear about it. See what people watch for along with watching the race to see what kind of things they do to add a little entertainment as they watch the race here later today. I know when I go to Phoenix and my wife's family, they go to the races at Phoenix both times of the year. And what they do is they get a deck of playing cards and they take out of that deck that, you know, they get 40 cards and they write a name of a driver in the field on 40 different cards. And you put some units into the pot and you get two cards, and whoever's driver has the lowest total finish, you know, if you have the second place finisher and the fifth place finisher, that's 7 points. If you have the lowest score, you win the pot, as it were. So if you have something similar, I'd love to hear about that for your Daytona 500 party. Also, don't forget our Fast Track Fantasy League is up and running. We've got a strong field of 47 competitors in our Fast Track Fantasy League. So if you want to sign up, check out our Facebook page. You can find the link on there, and also I will tweet it out as well too, but you can just sign up through foxsports.com. That's where we're playing the game once again this year, so during the next break I will tweet out a link, but also you can find it over on our Facebook page. But today's race, I'll tell you what, I'm really excited for the Daytona 500. It has been a fun week, at least watching the cup cars. If you watch the truck in Xfinity races this weekend, you might be a little bit more nervous, but I don't think we're going to see a similar turnout today. But really, I was impressed after the clash last Sunday and the qualifying races on Thursday. I think it's going to be a fantastic race. And, you know, the last couple of years, it seems like the getting a two lanes of drafting and trying to get that second lane to kind of pull up alongside and take a run at the leader, it's been hard. They usually stall out by the time they get to the front of the line. But this year, I think it's going to be a lot different. And we saw some exciting side-by-side action, especially on Thursday's qualifying races. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens later on today in the Daytona 500. Looking at the starting lineup for today's race, in qualifying last Sunday, Chase Elliott winning the pole, his second straight pole position, and third straight year the 24 team has won the pole position. He will lead the field to green today. Now, one interesting thing, I was looking back at the winners of the Daytona 500, and I noticed that a pole winner for the Daytona 500 has not won the race since 2000. Dale Jarrett did it in 2000. Jeff Gordon did it the year before in 1999. But since then, a pole winner has not won the Daytona 500. So if you are a Chase Elliott fan or he is on your fantasy lineup, maybe keep that in mind. Just caught that interesting that it's been 17 years since a pole winner has won the Daytona 500. And of course, he'll be joined by Dale Earnhardt Jr. On the front row for today's race. And the performance by the Chevys this week is the other thing that has made this race a lot more wide open for me. It's the Fords and Toyotas had been so dominant at the beginning of speed weeks, and especially in the clash last week and some of the early practice sessions. But the Chevys have stepped up their game, and they really impressed me on Thursday with Chase winning his dual race. You had Dale Jr. leading the most of his dual race until Denny Hamlin got by him with two to go. You saw Jamie McMurray out there, doing a phenomenal job. He was real aggressive in his qualifying race on Thursday. So the Chevys have something to say today as well, too. It's not just going to be the Toyotas and Fords dominating. It seems like the Chevys will be right in the mix as well, and they're going to have the first two cars on the front row for today's race. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Let's go to Tony and Clarence. Tony, good morning. You're our first caller of the year.
Well, I just want to thank the station and thank you for bringing us this information, which I would not have been able to gather on my own. So you really do a great job at this. I just want to say that, you know Mark Kelso from the broadcast team of the Bills has, I guess he's in charge of two teams for today's race.
Yeah, I learned about this. I didn't know about this until a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, Fox Sports 1, they had Jim Kelly on the start of Speed Weeks, and that led them to a feature story about our color commentator on our Buffalo Bills radio network, Mark Kelso, who's the director of operations for JTG Doherty Racing, which of course is AJ Allmendinger's team. And now this year, they're a two-car operation as they've hired Chris Buescher to drive a second car for JTG Doherty. And it's a pretty funny thing how it happened. Mark Kelso, of course, went to William & Mary. His roommate in college was Tad Geschechter, who is the co-owner of JTG Doherty Racing. He's the T&G in JTG, along with his wife, Jody. And then, of course, Brad Doherty, the former NBA player and college basketball standout. They're the owners of the team. But they were roommates in college, and they fired Mark to be the director of operations. I think that's really neat that Mark is involved in the sport.
Yeah, how do you look at that? I don't know where they finished in the qualifying, but what do you expect from the Allmendinger driving for this team and Buescher being just procured to drive also? How do you size up their chances today? Do they have basically what I don't know if you didn't hear Friday's show on the Bills show during the week, but he was on for a good 40 minutes with John Murphy. And he spoke of the fact that they just want to finish in the top 15. If they can get that, they'll be happy. How do you see their chances today? And I just want to ask also about your new child. How's the child doing for you?
Oh, thank you for the phone call, Tony. Rebecca is doing great. Thank you for asking. She is 22 months as of yesterday. I know that whole, if you don't have kids, you don't appreciate saying how many months old your child is, but I could say she's 1 year old, but when she turned one last April to versus being a 1 year old now, she's a completely different baby. And so that's why I say she's 22 months. She turns two in a couple of months. She's doing fantastic. Thank you. She's walking. She is hopefully listening to the show with her mom right now. But JTG Doherty's racing chances today. Unfortunately, Tony, they're both starting in row 19, so they're going to be at the back of the pack. Now, of course, we know at Daytona, restrictor plate racing, where you start isn't indicative on how you're going to finish this race, because with restrictor plate racing, it is very easy to come from the back of the field to the front of the field, of course. So anything's possible. You know, they're not going to go out and, you know, be a dominant team now all of a sudden that they're two cars. It'll definitely help their operation. They'll be getting, you know, two input sources of data now on race weekends, you know, along with the help they get from RCR, of course. So it can only help the team. And hopefully, they can get one of their cars in the chase this year. Maybe AJ, of course, could pull off a road course win. You know, Chris Buescher got into the chase last year, thanks in part to a rainout, but he won a race last year driving for Front Row Motorsports. So, you know, anything is possible, and it doesn't hurt when you have a multi-car operation. So I don't look for them to be favorites today, obviously, but can they win a race this year? Sure, anything's possible again, especially when you got a guy like Allmendinger with the road courses. And they'll only get better as the season goes on, as they're able to record, get more information from having two cars at the racetrack week in and week out. But yeah, something if you don't have a favorite driver maybe, and you're going to be watching today, but you're looking for a Buffalo tie-in, there's one right there. Mark Kelso being the director of operations for JTG Doherty Racing, and their drivers Chris Buescher and AJ Allmendinger, who got to start way back in row 39. Tony, thank you for the phone call. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Real quick, just I hit the front row. I'll just quickly run through the front row, the top starters, and some of the notable names in the field. But row two, Jamie McMurray and Denny Hamlin, who won the second qualifying race on Thursday night. Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Stuart Haas Racing teammates. Four drivers this year, don't forget. They're rolling off from row three. Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch in row four, Matt Kenseth, and Austin Dillon. Your top 10 starters. Trevor Bayne, former race winner, driving for Roush Fenway. Of course, he's now the senior driver at Roush Fenway this year. How about that? The fact that Trevor Bayne, who was, you talked about him being such a young kid when he won this race back in 2011, he's now the senior member over at Roush Fenway with the departure of Greg Biffle. Greg is not in today's race. That's another familiar name to race fans that is no longer in the Cup Series, along with Carl Edwards and Tony Stewart. You know, Greg, he and Roush parted ways, and no other rides materialized, and now Greg has taken a role over at NBC Sports. So at the moment, you know, Greg is not going to be an active driver in the Cup Series. So Bayne rolls off 11th alongside Danica Patrick in row 6. Of course, she had a good run in the Clash on Sunday. Other names in the field, Kyle Larson rolls off 16th. Daniel Suarez, who, of course, stepping in for Carl Edwards this year at Joe Gibbs Racing, his first Daytona 500. The reigning Xfinity Series champion, he rolls off 19th. Kyle Busch, 21st. Jimmy Johnson has had a rough speed weeks. A couple of spinouts in the Clash on Sunday. More bad luck in his dual race on Thursday night. He will roll off 24th. Casey Kane is 26. Michael Waltrip, his final Cup Series start, his 30th Daytona 500. Of course, he's won this race twice. He rolls off in the 30th spot today. Martin Truex Jr., of course, finished second by that much last year. He was back there as well, too. He starts 35th alongside Ryan Blaney, who's, of course, driving for the Wood Brothers in 36th starting position. One other name I overlooked that we should call out, since we do have some Canadian listeners. DJ Kennington starts 28th today in the field, the first Canadian to start the Daytona 500 since, I believe it was 1988. Trevor Boys was the last time a Canadian started the Daytona 500. Jacques Villeneuve attempted to qualify a few years ago, but failed. So congrats to DJ and his team. They're obviously a small operation, and they got in by the skin of their teeth in their qualifying race on Thursday. So cool to see. If you're not familiar with DJ Kennington, a longtime driver up in Canada with the Pinty Series, the Canadian Tire Series, late model racer too from up north, phenomenal driver, and he's run some Xfinity Series races, and he will start 28th today. So if you look at the field, there's a lot of big names towards the back of the pack, and you'll see a lot of comers and goers this afternoon. It's so hard for me to pick a favorite. I'd be getting asked all week, you know, who do you like for the Daytona 500, and it is hard to pick one name. You know, sometimes you can just see one guy or one team that's been bad fast all week, and you know, they've been the dominant operation throughout Speed Weeks, but that has not been the case. You know, we came into Speed Weeks knowing the Toyotas were going to be strong, the Penske Fords have been fast, but then you had the performance of the Hendrick cars in qualifying on Sunday and in the dual race on Thursday. So it's, you know, really hard to pick a name, but when you put my feet to the fire, as it were, I guess I would have to go with Joey Logano for the win this afternoon. Joey doesn't, you know, he's starting mid-pack. He's starting 15th today, but he was fast. He's fast in practice again yesterday. He's been consistently at the top of the speed charts throughout speed weeks. So I guess Logano is going to be my pick for this afternoon. Either him or I guess 1B would be his teammate, Brad Keselowski. I just like the speed that the Penske cars have shown, the consistency. They've been up front for most of speedways. The only disappointment was really pole qualifying. You know, he and actually Eric Almirola too, they were like the two last guys to go out in pole qualifying last Sunday, and their times wound up being rather flat, as you know, and it was almost shocking that those two didn't find their way into the top 12 after being the fastest in the practice session that set the qualifying order for the 500, and they just kind of went out there, and it was almost like a lead balloon, and just they got out there and didn't even factor and didn't make it into the second round of qualifying, into the top 12. So I guess that's the only misstep that Logano has had in speed weeks was pole qualifying. But Joey is an excellent plate racer. He is one of the best in the series right now, and I think he will definitely be a factor this afternoon, and he's going to be my pick for the win for today's Daytona 500 to get his second win in 3 years in the Great American Race. If you're looking for a dark horse today, I guess you can call him, you know, McMurray starting third. I guess it makes him a little less of a dark horse, but, you know, with Ganassi Racing not one of the power teams, McMurray, I guess, is my guy to keep an eye on this afternoon. I thought he was real aggressive on Thursday in the dual race, and he could really, you know, pick and choose his way through the field, kind of much like Brad Keselowski did last Sunday in the Clash race. And it was phenomenal to watch Brad and Jamie, the way they worked their way. It was almost like a game of Frogger, almost just leaping kind of from car to car, especially Keselowski last Sunday. You know, you get the side draft, and he'd be able to get around somebody and then find a hole to switch a lane and then side draft off somebody else. And he would just kind of go, you know, go back and forth lane to lane and go and work his way slowly through the field. And he was really aggressive on Sunday in the Clash race. And McMurray kind of did the same on Thursday, too. So I think, you know, McMurray is my guy to kind of keep an eye on in today's race in the one car. Again, starting third will certainly help. But I definitely someone you want to keep an eye on just for his aggressiveness. Now, maybe he'll be a little more reserved today in a longer race, but he's definitely has a shot here to win the race. The former winner of this race, too, don't forget, won it back in 2010 with Ganassi Racing, so he's looking for his second career win in the Great American Race. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Of course, the actions of last Sunday and Thursday in the qualifying races had me really excited for the 500. A lot of people are worried based on what they've seen this weekend. If you look at the truck race on Friday and the yesterday's Xfinity race on Saturday, they have been they were ugly. There was a lot of huge wrecks in both races. Your typical big one, you know, that we get in restrictor plate racing, especially. The Xfinity race yesterday, I mean, within the first 30 laps, there was two huge multi-car pileups, including one that required, you know, 45 minutes of a red flag to clean up. I don't think we're going to see that today. The big reason for the major wrecks in yesterday's race, especially the truck series, was the lack of experience in the field. One of the negative side effects of the fact that NASCAR has rolled back how much cup drivers can run in those series, you know, they can only, depending if they're a 5 year plus veteran, they can only run so many races. They can't run the Dash for Cash races. They can't run in the playoff races for those series. I forget the limit off the top of my head, if it's 5 or 10 that they can run in the truck and Xfinity series. So a lot of the cup guys, you know, have sat out the races, especially the truck series. You did see, you know, Casey Kane, Daniel Suarez, a couple other cup guys in the Xfinity race yesterday. But, you know, Kyle Busch wasn't in either race either. So there was a lot of young drivers in the field, a lot of drivers that don't have a lot of laps on a restrictor plate track. And it showed big time on both Friday and Saturday, which is why I don't think we'll see a repeat of that today, because you do have much, much more experienced drivers out there today in the cup race. You know, pretty much just about everybody except for, you know, Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones, who was, you know, starting today for Furniture Row Racing. I think everybody in the field has been in a restrictor plate cup race that is in today's starting grid. So I don't think you'll see as many of those major pileups, because these guys are a little bit smarter. They know how to draft better and you know, push the guy in front of them a little bit better than some of these younger guys do in the Xfinity and truck races that we saw this weekend. So it doesn't mean we won't see one. I mean, it is Daytona. It is, you know, restrictor plate racing. You know, they're not perfect, so you'll likely see at least one quote-unquote big one, but I don't think it'll be as ugly as we've seen the last 2 weeks. And I mean, we saw a fantastic clean finish in last year's race, of course. Well, it wasn't completely clean when Matt Kenseth got bumped out of the way but didn't crash. But to see them come to the line as close as they did last year and not wreck was amazing. So I think you'll see a much cleaner race today compared to what we've already seen this weekend. And I think you'll see more of what we saw on Thursday in the dual races, which, again, were phenomenal and some of the best racing we've seen at Daytona in the Cup Series in the last couple of years. All right, we're coming up on our first break here. We are on for 2 hours today. Don't forget. Coming up in the next segment, Kurt Becker from the Motor Racing Network will join us live from the World Center of Racing. He is on today's broadcast of the Daytona 500. You'll hear it right here on WGR right after we're done at 1 o'clock. Also, still phone lines open for you, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Your picks to win the Daytona 500 and your Daytona 500 party games. How do you add to the excitement, it's your version, I guess, of Super Bowl squares for your Daytona 500 party. I'd love to hear about that, too. Plenty more when we get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Kurt Busch, driver of the Haas Automation Monster Energy Ford Fusion. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Thank you, Kurt Busch. Kurt rolls off eighth today in the running of the Great American Race. And, of course, Stuart Haas Racing with the Ford power this year, making the switch, the surprise switch. Actually, you know, they do that. You go on Facebook and you can see, like, your post from, like, years past on this day. And actually, a couple days ago, I remember sharing the post of Stuart Haas announcing they were switching to Ford, and how that just caught everybody by surprise that Tony Stewart, you know, everybody thought he was such a strong Chevy guy. And, you know, there he goes, and he switches it to Ford. And so there'll be four extra Fords in the field today with Kurt Busch and, of course, Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, who is, of course, filling in for Tony Stewart and or taking over for Tony Stewart. And Danica Patrick is the fourth Stuart Haas car. If you're a Tony Stewart fan, I would love to know where your allegiances lie now that Smoke has retired. Do you just graduate into being a Clint Bowyer fan, or have you picked a completely different driver? Have you gone over to the Harvick camp? Are you just a junior fan now, or who is your favorite driver if you were a Tony Stewart fan, or you just cheer for Stuart Haas cars in general? I would love to hear that too. 803-0551 888-550-2550. Real quick, we got Kurt Becker coming up from MRN in just a moment, but the celebrity watch, as it were, for the Daytona 500, your notable names. The national anthem is going to be sung by Jordan Sparks today, the former American Idol contestant. LT LaDainian Tomlinson waving the green flag for today's race. The great running back from the Chargers and the Jets will wave the green flag. Your grand marshal is Owen Wilson, who, of course, is going to be bringing back his role of Lightning McQueen for Cars 3, which also feature 12 different NASCAR personalities doing voices. And Lady Antebellum is doing the pre-race concert. So if you're a country music fan, look forward to that. I know my Sabres Radio Network colleague, Pat Malacaro, I'm sure he'll be all excited to see Lady A perform this afternoon at the Daytona 500. Right now, though, let's go to the AT&T hotline and bring in one of the voices you'll hear on today's broadcast of the Great American Race, which you'll hear right here on WGR from the Motor Racing Network. Kurt Becker joins us live from Daytona. Kurt, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Good to be with you. It's a glorious day in Daytona Beach, Florida. Sunny skies, temperature around 70 degrees. Absolutely a marvelous day to go racing.
Yeah, obviously we had some rain earlier in the week, but no worries about that today, Kurt. And I'll tell you what, with everything, all the major changes and the action we've seen already this week from the Cup Series, Kurt, I haven't been this excited for a Daytona 500 in a couple years. This is going to be a wide open race. What are you guys thinking over there at MRN?
Yeah, it is. It's a deep field. It's a talented field. It's difficult to get a handle on who one would name as the chalk or the favorite. Now, some of the word around the garage area, there are those who believe that Brad Keselowski is, of course, he drives the Miller Lite Ford for Team Penske. Your defending winner, Denny Hamlin, the FedEx Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing, another driver a lot of folks have been talking about. And then you've got Stuart Haas Racing. Of course, they're going to Ford this year. Wide open race.
Yeah, definitely. And even the Chevrolets, Kurt, you know, with qualifying last weekend with Chase and Dale qualifying on the front row, a lot of people were talking about the Fords and Toyotas coming into speed weeks, but the Chevys, since last Sunday and in Thursday's duels, the Chevys, especially the Hendrick car, showing that they've got something to say in today's race as well, too, right?
Yeah, they really do. I mean, as you can see, all Hendrick Motorsports, all Chevrolet front row.
All right, Mike, I'm going to put Kurt on hold. Why don't you follow up with him here, see if he can get a better bit of cell coverage. I unfortunately, when you got a large crowd amassed like you do, cell coverage can be sketchy, and with Sprint pulling out after last year, who knows what cell coverage is like now at Cup races with out a cellular provider at the track like we've had the last decade or so. So we'll see if Mike can get Kurt to get either get a landline or find somewhere better to get some cell coverage. We'll try and get Kurt back on here in a minute. Speaking of the large crowd, it is a sellout for the second year in a row. Over 100,000 grandstand seats. They will all be filled today. I think it's like 101,000 or so. As International Speedway Corporation late yesterday announcing that it is a sellout for the second straight year, which is great to see, of course, as it's been well documented about the troubles with television ratings, of course, and ticket sales at some NASCAR events. It is a sellout for the second straight year for the Daytona 500, and of course, the second year with the new Daytona, with all the renovations they had put in over the last couple of years, and you know, the new seating and everything they've done. It's really remarkable to see that place. I can't wait to get there in person. I haven't been there in quite a few years, but to see what the new Daytona looks like. You know, that was the big story, of course, last year, with all the major renovations, and they did take out some seating. You know, they removed the backstretch grandstands and everything, but this new stadium experience that they've been calling it, referring to as a stadium, it's certainly paying off with another strong crowd, and the weather certainly doesn't help as well either. Of course, you know, Wednesday there was a lot of rain in the Daytona area, and Wednesday, Thursday too, threatened the duels there, but they did get those in. But just watching some of the television coverage here in the studio with Fox Sports, with their pre-race coverage, it's a bright and sunny day for the Daytona 500, as we'll be getting Kurt Becker back here in just a minute. One of the things I wanted to talk to Kurt about, of course, all the rule changes coming into this year. We've seen some of those now come into play. Just watching the Truck and Xfinity Series races already this weekend, we've gotten our first taste of stage racing and the 5-minute damage rule, of course, too, where drivers that have their cars damaged in an on-track incident, you know, they have 5 minutes to make repairs on pit road, or they have to drop out of the race. You no longer can take a car back to the garage area to make repairs. You can't, bolt on new sheet metal. You can only, repair holes with duct tape or reattaching parts that have fallen off, and that did come into play big time. A lot of people were they were expressing their feelings about it on social media, to say the least. Especially in the truck race Friday night, of course, there was a big wreck on the second lap of the race, and Stuart Friesen unfortunately was caught up in it. So it certainly keeps the number of drivers running late in a race when there are a lot of crashes that we saw in both races. It kind of does reduce the number of cars or trucks running towards the end of the race. But let's get Kurt Becker back on here. Kurt, glad we got you back. Just talking about some of the rule changes, Kurt. We've gotten our first taste of the new stage formats and the new damage rules this weekend in Daytona. And we certainly saw those come into play in both races already this weekend.
Yeah, we really did. Of course, in the race yesterday for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, you had one 18-car accident. You had another where 9 cars were involved. And a number of drivers did not meet the 5-minute clock requirement. And for folks who are new to NASCAR or new to the rule, it is a new policy instituted for this year, a damaged vehicle policy. If you're involved in an accident, repairs have to be made on pit road. You cannot replace entire body panels, fenders, door skins, things like that. There is a 5-minute clock. And if the repairs can be made, and if the driver returns to the track and maintains minimum speed, then the 5-minute clock is canceled at that point, and you're good to go. But if the damage is such that you have to go behind the wall, go into the garage area, mm-hmm. your day is done at that point. And you know, guys, with the stage racing, where now championship points as well as bonus points for the playoffs are going to be awarded in the various stages throughout the course of the race, I don't think there's any doubt that has inspired a number of drivers to really put the hammer down and try to get into that top 10 when each stage concludes.
Yeah, it's obviously going to play into a lot of team strategy depending where they are running as these stages come to a conclusion. And we know now the pits will close 2 laps before a stage is going to come to an end. Do you think, Kurt, when we get to the end of these first 2 stages, as they start to wind down, do you think we'll see a lot of teams that are maybe running, 20th or 25th, that they try and jump into the pits early and get a jump on those teams running up front and maybe do a little pit strategy with that today?
I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to see that. To the point of pit strategy, yeah, before pit road closes at the conclusion of each stage, I think you will definitely see some crew chiefs that are going to get creative and call their team down to pit road. I think you're going to see a lot of teams on their own pit sequence as the day unfolds. And you know, guys, as far as the championship point incentive to be in the top 10 in those stages, hearing a lot of conflicting reports out of the garage area today. On the one hand, you've got Kevin Harvick, for example, who's gone on record as saying, you better go for as many of those championship points as you can in each stage. If you don't, five or six races down the road, you're going to realize how far in the hole you are. You're going to wish you had done so. And then other drivers are telling us, no way am I going to do that. I'm not going to risk tearing up my car for a few extra points. I want to lay back and try to conserve the car and be there at the end of the day.
It seems like, Kurt, with these playoff points, the one thing that really is going to get the drivers going about earning the playoff points is the fact that they roll over for each of the rounds during the playoffs, and it really gives them a little bit of a margin error in case, you know, say they have a bad day at Martinsville in October, they know that they've got those extra playoff points, and it may be, you know, like we've seen the first 2 years of the elimination format, one bad day in a round could maybe end your season. This gives them a little bit of margin of error if they have enough playoff points saved up.
It does, and that has been met with a very positive response in the garage area from the driving community. And the other thing that we've heard mentioned is the fact that recognizing a regular season champion as well, that's a big deal. I know that Greg Biffle, who was on our broadcast yesterday, he told us just before we went on the air, he said he could remember 1 year when he was leading the point standings in regular season, but then by the time everything was reseeded to start the playoffs, he found himself down around 7th or 8th position. And Greg had pointed out that he's glad to see that NASCAR is taking steps to reward that entire body of work.
Last thing, Kurt, one of the big storylines going into this year is the fact that Tony Stewart's retired, Carl Edwards retired, the aforementioned Mr. Biffle is also not with us in the Cup Series, and we got another wave of young drivers coming into the Cup Series. A couple years ago was Austin Dillon and Kyle Larson. Last year, you know, it was Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney, and now this year we've got the likes of Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones and Ty Dillon moving into the Cup Series full-time. This great infusion of young talent, not only makes it promising for the sport years to come, but what kind of impact do you think, especially Suarez and Eric Jones, they're going to have on the Cup Series this year?
Well, this morning, just chatting with my colleagues here at Motor Racing Network, we took a little spin and went for a stroll through the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series garage, and we turned the corner, and there was the car that will be driven today by Daniel Suarez. And one of our announcers, he spoke up, and he said, you know, it would not surprise me to see him end up in victory lane today. That might be a bit ambitious, but, you know, Daniel's been very smart throughout the course of this speed weeks. He's just been gaining more seat time in the Cup car. Keep in mind, he wasn't expected to be in this ride, and the announcement came that Carl Edwards was stepping down a few weeks ago. And I think long-term, the other drivers that you mentioned, the Eric Joneses, the Ty Dillons of the world, I think, you know, the future is bright for NASCAR. Don't know how many of those drivers will end up with wins on their resume at the end of 2017, but if it doesn't happen this year, I think it'll happen soon.
Kurt, what can we look forward to on today's pre-race show that we'll be listening to here on WGR?
Well, we're going to have a little fun. We've got some segments coming up in our pre-race today. My colleague Alex Hayden, he visited with LaDainian Tomlinson, with LT, whom you all mentioned just before I came on a few moments ago. Our Kyle Rickey sat down and chatted with Jordan Sparks, and I had a chance to talk to Mario Andretti. You know, Mario won the Daytona 500 50 years ago,
yeah.
And as a result, NASCAR and the officials here at Daytona have brought him back to honor him. He is an honorary race official for the day. You know, what's neat for those of us on site was just to watch the fans run up to the fence and try to get Mario's attention, and he was so gracious. You know, he stepped around the corner and signed autographs and posed for pictures, and he is just a true gentleman and a wonderful ambassador for racing.
Did you happen to ask about that extra long pit stop that he had to overcome late in that race?
You know, We did touch on the fact, I asked him, I said, look, I know when you came here, you drove for Holman Moody, one of the most legendary teams in the history of NASCAR, and that Fred Lorenzen was the flagship driver for that team. And I asked, how well did you know Fred at that time? And he said, I didn't know him at all back in 1967. He said, we did become friends after the fact. You know, Mario, in the media center, right before we had a chance to talk to him, he told the press at large, he kind of touched on the fact that he felt like that really Ford wanted Freddie to be the guy that went to Victory Lane because he was the flagship driver. But as Mario quickly added, he said, look, I understand that. He said, I didn't understand it as well back then as I look back now. And he said, and he said, I get it.
Well, Kurt, we'll be looking forward to the broadcast today here in WGR. Great to chat with you. We've had a lot of your MRN colleagues on this program. We've been on the air for 10 years. So great to talk to you. Have a great call on today's broadcast, and thank you for the time.
And we appreciate you all being part of the Motor Racing Network family and look forward to talking to you again soon. And enjoy the race.
Will do, Kurt. Have fun today.
Thank you.
All right, Kurt Becker from the Motor Racing Network. He'll be one of the anchors in the booth today, along with some of his colleagues on today's broadcast of the Great America Race. Again, you can hear it right here on WGR. If you don't know what I'm talking about with Andretti with the extra long pit stop, when he won the race 50 years ago in 1967, he was in contention with Freddie Lorenzen, his teammate at Holman Moody. They were both driving Fords, and they came down for the final pit stop of the race, and Mario was leading, and legend has it that his Holman Moody crew was told to hold up Mario just a few extra seconds on pit road so Lorenzen can get out first, because, you know, Mario was kind of just a hired gun for the 500, whereas Lorenzen was going for the season championship. And so Lorenzen got off of pit row first, and they didn't drop the jack as quickly for Mario. Despite that, Andretti came back and passed Lorenzen and wound up winning the race 50 years ago. But that was the that's why I had to ask if he talked to Mario about that extra long pit stop. But good to see that time has, of course, healed all wounds between Mario and the late Freddie Lorenzen and the folks at the Ford Motor Company, as one of the great stories of the history of the Daytona 500. All right, we get back. We'll talk to Tyler Ripkema. Picked up a big win at New Smyrna on Tuesday night. And we'll have more here on the special two-hour edition of Fast Track on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan from my friends at Batavia Downs. And first off, I just want to say welcome back and thank you to Batavia Downs for once again sponsoring Fast Track. They've been with us now for 3 years, and really appreciate Ryan and everybody at Batavia Downs for supporting this program. Really means a lot to me. Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination. The place is awesome. I drove by it a couple of weeks ago. I was in Batavia. They've got the new hotel there. They've done so much work just in the last couple of years alone. The place looks outstanding. The whole main entrance has been renovated recently. The gaming floor looks outstanding. They've got tons of awesome games there at Batavia Downs. And of course, today would be a great day to go to 34 Rush. They've got all the big screens. Maybe, I don't know if they're going to roll out the 15-foot projection screen for the Daytona 500, but Either way, you should head, if you're looking for a place to watch the race this afternoon, 34 Rush would be a great place to do it. Tons of big screens, awesome food, great adult beverages. Highly recommend heading down to 34 Rush if you're looking for a place to watch the race today. Batavia Downs Gaming is open daily, 8 a.m. until 4 a.m. They're right off the three-way exit 48. You can't miss it. For more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for updated information on all promotions, and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track.
Hi, this is Ryan Blaney, driver number 21, Motorcraft Quicklane Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
How about Ryan Blaney today? Could he get the Wood Brothers their second Daytona 500 win here in the last decade or so? It was a huge upset for Trevor Bayne. Ryan Blaney winning today, I don't think that would be an upset. I mean, like I said, the Fords have been so strong. That's basically a Penske satellite operation there with the Wood Brothers. So, I mean, they've got just as good stuff as Logano and Keselowski. It wouldn't surprise me if Ryan Blaney somehow found a way to win today's race. Ryan starts deep in the field, though, 36 today. But again, like I said, that doesn't matter a ton. But it would be A, super cool if he did it. B, it wouldn't, like I said, I don't think it'd be an upset. It'd be a pleasant surprise. But I think with with the horsepower the Fords have shown, and he could be plenty capable of winning today's great American race as an outside shot. 11:56 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Trouble getting hold of Tyler Rivkema. We'll try again in the second hour. So coming up, we're coming back for a whole another hour. Hope you stick with us. Again, 803-0551, 888-552-550. Coming up at 12:15, we'll talk to Alex Nagy from the Jucasa Motor Speedway, formerly known as the Cayuga Motor Speedway in Nell's Corners, Ontario. And then the rest of the way will be open phone lines. So I'd love to hear from you. Your picks to win the Great American Race, your championship picks, maybe your final four for Homestead, your thoughts on all the rule changes, and again, your Daytona 500 party games or wagering you like to do on the Great American Race. Maybe you you do a pool of some kind, or picking names out of a hat, or just what you do to maybe do a little wagering on today's race. Would love to hear about that too. Like I said earlier in the program, I've gone to Phoenix and played a little game where you take a deck of cards, you take each card and write a driver that's in the race on the card, and everybody picks two cards, and whoever has the lowest total score at the end of the race wins the pot. If you have something similar, I'd love to hear about that too. As a Daytona 500, it's, you know, like the old saying goes, it's the Super Bowl of stock car racing, and everybody likes to have a good time watching this race every year. So love to hear your thoughts on that as well too. When we get back for hour number two of the Daytona 500 preview edition of Fast Track here on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.